Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a topic today that, my gracious, I can't imagine anyone, unless you're 4 years old, not being interested in it, and it's about work. Yes, because we all have to work. So my guest today is Jeffrey Garten, and his wonderful book is called Career Contentment. Don't settle for anything else. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Donna. It's great to be here.
You know, Jeffrey, you have been so involved with so many people over the years. You have been a professional career coach. You yourself have your own radio show. You've spoken before all kinds of groups. You have worked with Fortune 500 companies. You are involved in so many things, and you have seen the best of situations relative to career, where people really love what they do, and then you've seen the worst of situations. This book is really a hands-on book. You are so involved with so many things. How in the world did you ever find time to write the silly book? And it's not a silly book. It's a very good book. But how in the world did you ever get the time to do it?
Well, it was drawn out over a period of almost 5 years and constantly perfecting the content as I continued to learn more and more about what I didn't know about contentment. And unfortunately, there's not a lot out there about contentment. So I think I got pulled into this and couldn't let go of it and kept perfecting it over time and time. Just kept coming back to it, Donna.
Now, you were with the Miller Brewing Company for a number of years, Kraft Foods. I mean, again, you've been with so many different environments. So when you talk about career and business, you're really coming from a point of personal experience as well as interacting with so many. The word contentment, as you've just said, rarely is ever associated with a job. What does contentment mean to you when you're trying to teach people about this? What is that word? It's not sitting in a lazy boy chair. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe somebody has to work on the computer where they can do that. But what is it to you?
Well, so many people consider the word contentment as being laid back or stasis or something. It's actually, that does not mean what it is. Contentment, it refers to our self-sufficiency to persist and endure in situations where complete satisfaction is never possible. So career contentment is the peace and the pleasure we get from doing what we love and loving what we can do. And we can have that feeling of contentment with our work despite dissatisfying job conditions. So I encourage people, separate the two. Employers control jobs and the means to satisfy. And what we control from within is our sense of contentment, and we rely on that contentment to manage our career.
Let's take a positioning of someone who is looking for an employee. Let's go to that spectrum of thought, because you address a number of different positionings, the employer, the employee, and a number of other things in your book, Career
Right.
Contentment. Let's talk about that employer that is doing interviewing. One of the biggest complaints that I hear from business people is I have a tough time finding people to suit the job that I have. They'll often say the people don't want to work. You've heard the same thing I've heard.
Sure.
What would you say to that employer or to anyone who's listening to this show at this time? What would you say to them that they need to be alert to and aware of?
Well, I believe that each of us is needed someplace, and that's where we need to be. And getting to that someplace requires both employees and employers to sometimes suspend judgment and get to know one another to ensure that it's an authentic fit. Sometimes employers find people in unexpected ways. They magically appear when they don't expect it. And that's the same way jobs find people. They suddenly appear. It's when our thoughts, feelings, and actions are in harmony that the world sort of comes forth to help us. And we end up finding things that we never thought were possible. So I think it's important that to employers to suspend judgment, keep an open mind, get to know the person, and get beyond that initial trauma of the interview to understand who the person is and what they bring to the table. Does that help you?
Well, that helps. Let's take the other side. We have someone that's out there looking for a job. This is a person, and I'm just going to relate to myself, because I can remember years ago when I was out job hunting, and I would say, gee whiz, what I want to be able to get XYZ salary. Usually that's the very first thing that's in a person's mind. Yet at the same time, we want to be challenged. I remember when I went to work for the police department and in California, and I said, gee, this is a whole new environment. I really want to be challenged. I want to look at this, that, and the other. Come to find out later, I really didn't belong there, but I had qualified on so many levels. When you're young, you have a particular mindset. When you get to maturing years, let's say you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, you have a different mindset, and then those for those other individuals. Let's take the younger person first. What would you recommend to that person that's getting out of college, that's wanting to have something that's satisfying to them, but really hasn't gotten too much experience in their lives? What would you recommend to them so that they could look at being in that positioning of having career contentment?
Right. I would recommend, first of all, learn from your feelings. A funny thing happens when a person drives down the street and they look left and right and see hundreds of employers. Somehow we know instinctively that we would work one place and not another. Now, how do we know that? And I believe that a calling, which scientists are still confused about what a calling is, I actually believe it is our spirit's intentions, because we're all here to fulfill a purpose. And through our mind, we have stewardship over the fulfillment of our spirit's intentions. And so when I say learn from our feelings, I mean get close to what is inside of us. Take some time off and spend some time. Don't spend time thinking about the sorrows of the past, the worries of the present, or the fears of the future. Focus exclusively on you, and think in terms of the people who impress you. There's something about them that's inside of you, and it's a matter of getting in touch with that. The next thing I would suggest is igniting your imagination, because we end up doing what we long ago imagined for ourselves. And that's why we choose the education that we do, and then we end up in the jobs where we end up. And it might not be what we do best, but what we have a deep interest in wanting to do the most. And we keep coming back to it because we believe it's worth fighting for, and it feels like coming home. So that sense of contentment, Donna, is like a homing device. It sort of draws us in and keeps us interested. So the closer we can get to the fulfillment of that feeling, the better off we are to know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
I can really relate to that. When I look back on all the different types of work I found myself involved with through the years, prior to getting into broadcasting and into my counseling, etc., which is so meaningful to me, I was always on every level of involvement in communications, and it took me a number of years to connect the dots. And it wasn't so much the job titles, it's what I ended up doing, creating a newspaper, doing all kinds of different things. I was so out of the box that I had one employer tell me, I don't know what to do with you. You know, you're always looking at life as a glass half full instead of half empty. But again, I use myself as an example here. I can't speak for anyone else. But I can say that is where I have always, always had tremendous joy, tremendous satisfaction. I mean, I absolutely love what I do. So I feel like I am a very, very fortunate individual, but it took me a long time to get to this point. Let's deal with that person that's in the middle age bracket, that's gotten some experience under their belt. they figure like they're sort of encountering a brick wall. They'll be told you're overqualified, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Let's address that group.
Sure. One of the most persistent questions that arises during a person's career is, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And we tend to grow. I mean, you talk about an evolution. I think everyone tends to grow from their pain. And we learn from our mistakes. That takes us into directions sometimes we never anticipated. One middle-aged person I know had completed a medical degree from Ohio State University in veterinary science and was a practicing veterinarian, but didn't like it. Today, of all things, they are a master wood carver. And they carve animals, and they're so anatomically correct, they're just absolutely lifelike and gorgeous. In fact, they have 3 carvings in the White House.
Oh, my goodness.
Who would have ever thought that going through that schooling would have ended up in somebody, you know, working in bib overalls in a dusty, sawdust-filled room carving animals? You just don't know. Life's a journey, and it's exciting, and I think if we do stay in touch with our feelings, pay attention to what we're supposed to learn, and keep our imagination ignited, we can work for as long as we can imagine doing anything that we want to do.
Oh, I love that statement. We can work as long as we imagine. There are people that I have met that are in their 60s and 70s, and they are bored out of their minds. Maybe financially they're okay. A lot of them are having trouble financially, and they go, gee, what am I going to do? I'm too old. And I say, wait a minute, you're not. You have got years ahead of you, and the likelihood of your being able to enjoy good health is so much better when you are doing something you love. So let's get down to bare bones. What do you really like? Let's address that older generation, because unlike Grandma and Grandpa, where they were forced to retire and sit in a rocking chair and eat apple pie, if they were lucky, until they decided to leave this experience, what can we say to the older person that they can have a brand new career? Address that for a moment.
Right. It's a painful experience once you hit 55 and older and you're looking for a job, because you can sense the age discrimination going on that nobody talks about, and it's frustrating. But I tell people, get that out of your mind. Number one, it's illegal to be even going in that direction, and you oughtn't be thinking about it. If your intention is to find work, keep your thoughts and emotions focused on already getting it, and that's what gives you that resilience to persist and endure. And the thing of it is, I'm always getting these questions, Donna, how do you approach employment at age 55 and older? And I tell people, I was never trained as a recruiter to recruit age 55 people and over any differently than I do 25-year-olds. It's all the same process. But if you show up interviewing for a job already preoccupied with the disadvantage of being older and thinking that they're discriminating against you, guess what? It comes forth in how they perceive you. And so employers are looking for those self-starters and aggressive people who feel confident in what they're doing, not somebody who is second-guessing whether they ought to be there. And today, actually, there's a brain drain occurring due to the retiring boomers. So,
Big time.
People at this age are needed more than they realize.
Oh, very much so. And the younger people are saying, please, cannot someone give me some help? I mean, we have got colleges. There's one college on the East Coast that I know that the dean of the college finally got savvy. This was a few years ago. And he said he had so many people coming out of the military that were just yearning to be able to do something of value. And he said, would you come and would you teach? Because their expertise was everything from A to Z. And he found they went into the classrooms, and as teachers, they were just phenomenal because they brought actual experience to the table. It kept them sharp, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And I think so many times that people forget that when you have purpose, when you can take what you've utilized in your life as a mature individual and wrap that up and present it in a way that is going to empower the younger generation coming up, it's just, it's phenomenal. It is worth more than anything you could be paid doing, doing it. And it's incredibly valuable. Incredibly valuable.
Oh, yeah. You can't be paid enough to do something that you don't have the talents for or the interest for, and it's not your purpose. It's just, it's not going to happen. Donna, one of the biggest problems that I see out there today in the workforce is actually caused by employers. By their efforts to attract, motivate, and retain employees with the idea of being made satisfied. And the reality is, complete satisfaction is never possible. And so employees are working with the expectation they're going to be made satisfied, and unfortunately, employers have taken their mind off of doing the work they love and focusing employees on expecting to be made satisfied, which is never possible. And I think that's a great crime and a sin. You know, we can work as long as we want. It's our nature to work and to find pleasure in the work we do. But if we're focused all the time on expecting and needing and wanting satisfaction, then we're really spoiling it.
Well, we are, and I think it's being very naive.
Yes,
there
exactly.
There is nothing on this planet. If you watch nature, you will see every aspect of nature, whether it's the plant kingdom, the rock kingdom, the animal kingdom. There is always motion and movement, and many times it's very difficult. Spring is a great time of example because Mother Nature, the demands that this is, if you're going to bloom, it's time to get started. So what happens, you have a seed or a bulb in the ground, and it has to work its way up through a lot of dirt, maybe around rocks, maybe through concrete. But it's going to get to the sun somehow, but it has to do it on its own. There's no free lunch.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. I like that analogy. And in fact, I think I read part of that in your newsletter, which I really enjoy getting. It's that dissatisfaction that we experience, that dirt, the rocks, and the concrete. That's really what enable us to grow. And we have to learn that those feelings of dissatisfaction sometimes are benefiting us in ways that we can't imagine at the moment because it's for a purpose that's sometimes bigger than us, like this artist. I mean, he was getting sick healing animals. In fact, I visited his shop, watched him do carvings, and he practically fainted in front of me after cutting his thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you got to pay attention to those Blue Mondays and the bad things that happen and what they're trying to tell you and what you're supposed to do as a result.
Well, and the way I look at it is that he went to veterinary school. He was dealing with these animals. And one of the reasons he became such a fine carver, just like Michelangelo became a wonderful sculptor and a wonderful artist, was by the anatomy. Those very things that he studied that gave him that eye for detail, and he personalized that, and he's able to put that forth in art, and he can faint all the blood in the world, but give him the tools, and here he is, he's carving, and he's putting his passion and his love for animals into that artistic expression, and nobody else is going to be able to do what he's doing because they don't feel it from his perspective.
That's precisely right. And then for your listeners who are getting started and to hear this, they might take a lesson from what his evolution was. Now, going to medical school, that's a great honor. And I imagine this guy was encouraged by people to do things that maybe wasn't on his career plan. But he was trying to satisfy others and getting himself through the med school. And then I think it really takes a lot of time and serious introspection and self-reflection to understand who we are and why we're here and the contribution we're supposed to make as a result of our work. And we have to please ourselves. And like I say, we have stewardship to the fulfillment of our spirit's intentions. That's our calling.
Yes, it is. And I think that, again, as you said, is an evolution. It is something we need to go through some of the lumps and bumps so that instead of having a complacent attitude of, gee, yeah, I want the good life. Everybody wants the good life. Well, what is the good life to you? Make an analysis of that. For someone, it may be kayaking in the middle of the Alaskan waters during summer. For someone else, it may just be making apple pie. For someone else, it might be becoming the President of the United States. But whatever it is, that's that individual's choice. And
that's right.
They have to be true to that part of themselves. And in the process of going for that, they may discover that they have something that is going to be more important to them. But without looking, without aiming, without directing yourself, how in the world are you ever going to be able to find out who you are? You can't.
Can I tell you a quick story from the book?
Oh, please do.
In Chapter 10, I talk about a story. I was watching public television one night. And, of course, with my focus on contentment, I always look at these things a little differently than other people. But I like helicopters, and I watched this program where this guy was, this helicopter was flying through this valley. And as you heard them talking on the TV program, the angle of the camera changed, and you could see there was a 3-foot-wide platform attached to the helicopter. And there was a man in a jumpsuit and a white hard hat dangling his feet over the platform, riding. It looked like frightening. And as they were talking, the man who was dangling his feet was talking about just how much he loved what he did. And then the helicopter started inching its way to these high-tension power lines. And as the man was talking, he took this little wand and he discharged the electrical current so that he could step from the platform of the helicopter. Now, this is 90 feet above the ground. And on his hands and legs, he's balancing on 2 high-tension wires. Then he discharges the electrical current and then and fastens the safety line to the high-tension wires, and the helicopter backs away. And as you're watching this, the man on the high-tension wire, there's another one on the other side going the other direction, and he starts going one way, and it looked like some Cirque du Soleil act.
Mm-hmm.
And the man says, "The love of what I do has given me the ability to overcome my 2 greatest fears, fear of heights and fear of electrocution." And when I heard that, I thought, oh, my land, is that ever career contentment?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we all have to find and come to terms with. What is it that gives us that contentment with why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing? And that feeling will occur even in jobs that we find less than perfectly satisfying. It's more about what we're doing to fulfill our calling and purpose.
Oh, I agree with that. I met a blacksmith a few years ago. This man was so interesting to me because he absolutely loved what he did. Of course, he has a very unique profession. There's not a lot of people that are going to be out there hammering iron the way he does. But he just loves it. He makes these wrought iron fences and all kinds of things. He's just a wonderful artist. But one of the things he wanted to do was to pass his craft on to a younger generation. And he took on a challenge, and that challenge created a whole new career for him. He made an arrangement with a vocational school, and he said, "I want to teach young men to be able to have a craft and to be able to do what I do." And they said, "Okay, we've got a challenge here. We get most of the schmucks. And these are kids, and I call them schmucks because they're dropouts, they were in trouble,
all kinds of stuff.
And he said, "Well, send them to schmucks." So they came out to where he would do his blacksmithing, and he laid out the rules for them. He said, "If you don't want to be here, you don't be here. But if you want to graduate, and you want to learn a craft, you want to learn a skill, I'm here to teach you." By golly, do you know that every young man that came to him ended up not only graduating from high school, but this man was able to train them. They developed a sense of self-esteem.
Wonderful.
And they went on into vocations that never in a million years would they have even given consideration to. These were young men that were not academics. These were young men that really needed to be in the kind of environment he provided. He set the standard. They stepped up to the mark, and he said it was one of the most satisfying things he had ever done.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Now, see, for some of these kids, you know, by suspending their judgment on what is or isn't possible and getting in touch with what they feel in relation to what they're doing, it's changed their lives positively forever.
Yes, and he has good friends. I've known so many people that have supposedly by accident discovered this, and for him it was just he was at a particular positioning. The man in his 60s, he was comfortable. He said, "This is a challenge. Let me see what I can do with it. What's the worst thing that can happen?" Well, they went from being schmucks to wonderfully talented young people, which they were always.
Mm-hmm.
But they went into this type of a environment and came out just wonderfully. I like a statement you have in your book. Your book is loaded with so many good points. Choosing not to complain, but to bloom where you are planted. Now, this to me, I think, is absolutely invaluable. If you, wherever you are, you give your very best, this is good. Talk about John, the man that you wrote a story about. He rejected a promotion because it involved relocating to a plant. Tell us what he did.
Right. John was in a situation where, if I recall the same one, he was in a situation where in order for him to advance to higher levels inside his corporation, he would have to do a rotation through the plants, which is something that he didn't particularly want to do. And I think if it's the same situation I'm thinking about, he had been divorced and had joint custody and didn't want to leave the town. And so what he did, he focused on making himself invaluable in things that he was given to do, but he also looked for things that he wasn't asked to do, but developed ability to do them. He became the go-to person and the guru, and ultimately was promoted time and again, even though he was told that would never happen. And so really, it's the virtue of working. And by that I don't mean the morality. But if your job is shining shoes, if you put your heart in putting the best shine on that shoe possible, then the resilience you get from that enables you to persist and endure despite whatever situations. And you become a lot more attractive to people, and they want to engage you. And so that was the magic I call the alchemy of the transformation and that John created himself. It's amazing.
You give some wonderful points about having a flexible career plan. Some of those points are stick things out, get more training and education, go where jobs are that you might be interested in, adapt to fit whatever job is available, and create your own job, take whatever job pays the bills until you get your career back on track, and do maybe a mixture of all the things that I've just mentioned. I think this is such good wisdom, and some of my listeners may say, oh, but Donna, we've heard this before. But you have such a good, comfortable way, Jeffrey, of pulling all of this together for someone who's reading. You make it very personal, very warm, very inviting. Now, I know you've got your own radio show. I know you also have a website. Share that information with us so people can go and check out what you have to offer.
Well, thank you. The website is www.careercontentment.com, and also we're opening a new website, careercontentment-thebook.com, where we talk about some upcoming webinars and training and so forth, what we're very excited about. And I know what distinguishes this book, I think, from others, Donna, is the fact that we come right out and say job satisfaction is a myth. And why you're working more so is for that contentment from within.
Absolutely. Now, give me those two websites again. CareerContentment.com. And what's
career
the other one?
CareerContentmentTheBook.com. CareerContentment-TheBook.com.
All right. So we've got the two websites we can go to. And what's your radio show?
The radio show is on VoiceAmerica.com, the business channel, and it's called Career Contentment Radio. It's on Thursday afternoons, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And we interview authors and experts who, after they've learned a little bit about career contentment, they come on and talk about it from their perspective.
Oh, that's fabulous. I think that's wonderful. Well, there you've got the scoop. We're out of time, Jeffrey. I know that you're just going to do wonderful things, more than what you've done so far, because you really do love what you're doing. And your book again, Career Contentment, Don't Settle for Anything Else. Jeffrey Garton, his last name is spelled G-A-R-T-O-N. You've got his websites. Jeffrey, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna. It was my pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Now remember, Jeffrey's websites, careercontentment.com or careercontentment-thebook.com. Lots of good things to share. you will want to investigate it. Pass the information along to your friends because it's a good resource if you're wanting to get in touch with who you really are and what you really want to do. Never too soon to take that time for yourself. Because after all, we all have to work for a living one way or the other. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open if you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted that you are able to join us. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. And then let me give you my intuitive insight. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you desire. Again, 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756 if you're a Canadian, or 530-876-3222. Now, I do want to remind you, on June the 9th, I'm going to be broadcasting live with a station in Spain. This is a wonderful opportunity. It's with REM FM Radio out of Spain. Now, I'm going to be up bright and early at 5:20 in the morning here Pacific time. But for the rest of you, if you wanted to tune in and listen to the live broadcast, all you'd have to do is to go to rem.fm.com, rem.fm.com, and they will also have the show archived for your listening convenience. So I do want to let you know about that. Your mind is like a parachute. It does work much better when it's open. Have you heard that before? Well, that's Kirk Ashley said, how would love respond? And by the way, Kirk is going to be coming up as a guest on my show in the coming months. But I think that this is so important for us to realize. So frequently it's easy for us to put our mental clamps on and have them on all the time. And we need to realize that belief systems and certain structures of thought are always, well, actually anything and everything, is open for investigation. It really, really is. And we need to be aware of that. We need to make that okay. And sometimes when we get scared or we are frightened and life puts challenges on us, that's really when we're often forced to reevaluate things. And it's not easy. It's not easy when you are sitting in a situation and the universe sort of gives you a slam dunk, says, okay, have you got it? It's time for a change. You wake up here, listen. The old adage, take time to smell the roses. Well, sometimes you need to take time to think. You need to really give yourself permission to do that and to examine what's going on in your life. You know, we were talking during the first half of the show about career contentment. Well, lots of times people tell us this is what you should expect, but we don't go inside of ourselves to say, gee, is this really what I enjoy? I mean, I knew a bookkeeper once. This woman, you could lock her away in a closet for 24 hours a day. As long as she's working with numbers and books, it was great. She was a person, she didn't care if she talked to people very much. That wasn't an issue with her. She really was a good teacher for me. I was in my 20s, I met her, and I thought, how in the world can you stand to do this? She loved numbers. She loved that isolation. She just was happy as a clam. And we got to talking one day. She said, it would drive me nuts if I had to deal with the people the way you do. At that time, I was involved with an insurance agency and selling insurance policies and all that kind of thing. And I said, but I can't imagine doing what you do. And it was a very good lesson for me at a very young age, in that we all have our own talents, our own gifts. We're all unique people. And we sometimes will look at someone else and say, I don't know how you can stand this. Have you ever watched someone in a bakery? These people who just think decorating cakes is the most exciting thing you can ever do. Well, I've been there and I've done that. And after a while, I said, enough is enough. I couldn't take any more of it. The key is they are where they need to be. And I just love it. There are people, my husband and I were talking about this yesterday, there are people that just love being out in the dirt. And my husband, who is a person, he's one of these very inventive souls, and he just loves, you know, brainstorming and doing things like this. But to get him out in the dirt, forget it. He'd never make it as a farmer. He hates it. Not unless he could be telling everybody what to do and it could all be computerized. Then that would be fine. But the thing is, we all have our gifts and talents. And when we honor and we respect that, like one young lady that I knew that was an avid gardener, she could not imagine not doing that. And she was always involved in it as a part-time deal. And we got to talking one day. She was working as a bartender. She was a superb bartender. She really was. People just loved her. And I was working in a hotel doing appearances, and we got, during quiet times, we'd chat. And I finally said to her, I said, Marcia, you need to become involved with landscaping. Go and get some classes under your belt. Get so that you can talk the lingo and get out in the dirt. And, you know, eventually she got a job with the state, and she was doing landscaping. She probably is still in the dirt. She just loved it. She was so happy. She said she would be up early in the morning before anybody else would consider getting up out of bed. She's out there, she's digging weeds, she's doing all kinds of stuff, and she is happy. All of us have to have integrity with who we are as individuals, and that is a learned process. We often will instinctively know, just like my guest said. Jeffrey made a very good point there. We instinctively know what we enjoy, but so often, because that may come easily to us, we disregard it. Many times we think we're supposed to suffer, and we try to do everything according to everybody else's dictums. It doesn't work. And if we are wise and we learn to pay attention to ourselves, eventually we'll go, I think I can go along another route. I think I can explore another venue. Try it on a part-time basis. If you don't like it, you move on to something else. But if you don't explore, if you're not willing to check yourself out and to look at all the variables, you just don't know. One gal I know became involved with cookies. She just, man alive, could she make cookies? If I were around her cookies all the time, I'd be as wide as I am tall. And believe me, I'd look like a beach ball. But she was just, she was so good at this. Eventually, she went into the business of making cookies. Her cookies were so very exceptional. And that's what you need to remember. Let me share with you some information about some gals that really, really did some things that, as far as I'm concerned, they are so far out, but they're working. There is a woman by the name of Linda Katz from Garden City, Kansas. She decided she was going to do something really silly. She put up a website, her own creation, to sell tumbleweeds that blew across her lawn. Now, give me a break. Who is going to want a tumbleweed? Well, when I come back after taking this caller, you're going to find out what happened with this lady. It is amazing. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
My initial is L, and I'm calling from Southern California.
Where in Southern California, dear?
Long Beach area.
Long Beach. Beautiful city. Man, has it changed. Okay, let's get down to business with you, L. The first thing I'm looking at is, there is a distress factor in your life that you need to really face head on. You need to really look at what's pushing your buttons. That is the only way that you are going to know how to totally vaporize it. If you don't face the cellular base of what is going on here, you're going to end up going through this distress like a roller coaster for the next 6 to 8 months. Don't waste your time. Look exactly at the cellular basic disruption that is causing this, and you then will be able to break through no time at all. The choice is going to be yours, but make that breakthrough, because you have worked so hard during these last 5 years, and you keep encountering what I consider as a brick wall that pops up like these computer game characters pop up, and you just are so tired of trying to shoot the cotton picking thing down. You're saying it's just taking too much effort. I want to say it's all smokescreen. You can get past this very quickly. Just be consistent, be direct, and don't be afraid. You have absolutely nothing to fear. Now, there's quite a bit of traveling that's going to come up for you, and you may find you have to make a choice about whether or not you want to be in an environment of work that's going to require a lot of travel for a long period of time. That is your choice, but you do have some options to work with. But you must take care of your health, and you have a tendency to be a worrywart, and I would like for you to put the energy of that habit to better use. To step away, then get down to the basis of why you get worried about certain things. Look at what you can control and what you can't control, and then release and let go. Have a big learning curve here of trust that will work for you, not against you. And I think you're going to come out ahead, but you have really had a very agitating 4.5 years. And you're coming to the end of this, hon. You're coming to the end of it, but you've got these little things that have to be dealt with. What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me?
I'm currently unemployed. I lost my job last month. And one of the things I wanted to, you know, comment on was that I am a student of metaphysics and higher learning and such. And I realized that in that last job, I was able to manifest what I wanted, what I had been going for, my goal. But it was me 12 years ago. It was not me now. And the universe definitely sent me a message, and it was in the form of a physical accident, that this just really was not for me anymore. And so I'm in that transition, everything's up in the air, phase of, you know, pregnant pause of, well, what's next? And in that situation, I was aware of it and trying to manage my exit and came up with a plan B and took a little bit of training on, you know, on the weekends and stuff for plan B. But I'm not even sure plan B is where I want to go.
All right. Now, what is plan B for you at this moment?
plan B was to get into the insurance industry, the life insurance, health, and long-term care.
Okay, now, Elle, I'm getting ready to go on a break. Will you stay on the line, and we'll come back and work with this, all right?
Sure.
All right, so we're going to come back to Elle. Let me give out the phone number, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We'll be back just in a moment.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Okay, we're going back to Elle in Long Beach, California, and we're going to take on her question. Now, Elle, you were telling me that you were in between things right now because you are no longer at your former positioning, but you were looking at insurance. Now, let me ask you a question.
No, I was in a outside manufacturer's rep position, and I was seeing the future that this was not going to be something I could do long term, and so I went to the classroom training required for certification with the state Department of Insurance for life insurance, health, and long term care disability.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I just kind of wanted to clear that up.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that clarification. All right, so you were a manufacturer's rep. You were in sales. You enjoy people.
Yes.
With the insurance industry, I mean, there's a plethora of jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose that?
Well, you were talking about the last 4 years of my life, and yes, that has been very rough. And one of the things that happened is my own mother became very ill and had to be moved, you know, to a hospital, and then has since been into a retirement home. And my dad as well. And my dad has a dementia, but not Alzheimer's, a different type of
mm-hmm.
dementia. And the house had to be sold and everything liquidated, and me and my siblings took care of all that. This one of the saving graces for my mother's situation was that she had long-term care insurance, and I'm middle-aged, and do not have any children of my own, and this was a real epiphany to me that, you know, there are others like me out there, and single parents and things out there too, that this is a real need in today's world. And it's the funniest thing, because early in my career, I considered insurance and worked for an insurance as a regional office type of personnel, but never considered that it would be something that I would want to pursue, or that it would be my, you know, chosen career path
mm-hmm.
and such.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that gives
a very good insight as to why you decided to become licensed for this. What I'd like to encourage you to do is to look at those companies that are offering various plans and go and look at the ratings on companies selling these plans. And there are a few sources you can check out. But what I would say is go for the top three
mm-hmm.
and see about becoming employed by them. And then look at actually being involved in the work.
Right.
Now, you're not going to make a great deal of money off of this in the beginning. So if you can get a positioning that gives you what I call the bread and butter coming in, then
mm-hmm.
that's wonderful. But link up in that way so that you can have a bigger picture of what you're looking at. I think you're on track with something, but I don't know that the image that you have in your head right now is going to work. I think you're going to be involved in an area of education and training because you really like informing people. You really like helping people to have a sense of stability. So you need to be in that learning curve, and I would encourage you to look at finding a position of employment that is going to, again, have the bread and butter aspect to it, and you're able to get into the nitty-gritty and really get the inside track on all the variables that you can choose from.
Yes.
And you've got plenty of opportunities down there in Southern California.
Oh, yes.
So you could have a job within a month.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So just go for it. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Okay, good. Good.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Well, thank you, Donna. I just discovered BBS Internet Radio and was looking forward to your interview with Jeff Garton today and hearing your show for the first time.
Well, I'm so delighted, and I'm glad you've enjoyed it. Tell your friends about it, and do stop by and listen again.
I will.
And remember,
thank
we've got
much.
Archives, so if you miss a show, you can always listen.
That's right. Yes.
Take care, my dear.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. This
All
is
right.
Donna Sebo, and I know we're just about out of time here. I want to finish the story about the tumbleweed. Yes. This woman putting a silly website up on the Internet saying, I'm going to sell tumbleweeds. This was just a game to her. This was not something that was a big deal. She wanted to practice putting together websites. Guess what happened? She started getting orders. She said this was just a hoot. She said instead of taking down her pretend site when the orders started coming in, she found out that she could actually sell tumbleweeds, and she said then she started selling them. Can you imagine the packaging process on that? She said, I can do this. She packaged them up, sent them out, and 2 weeks after she finished the site, which she calls prairietumbleweedfarm.com, she got a phone call from a woman in New Jersey who was having a Western-themed wedding and wanted to place an order. Now, today, Linda is making $40,000-plus a year. She has sold thousands of tumbleweeds that are just lying out in her front yard on the Kansas prairie. She said they've gone to Hollywood, they've gone to the Pottery Barn, and as far away as Japan. Anything goes. Never in a million years would I have thought tumbleweed would have sold. She did it as a joke. It's ended up making her money. This is Donna Sebo. It's so delightful to have shared this hour with you. Thank you so much for being with me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is a world out there of discovery. I want you to reach for it. It's a great thing to do. Well, we'll talk with you tomorrow. And my guest tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Deborah Merlin, Victory Over ADHD, A Mom's Story. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.